Well, just a few days ago, I was musing in my during my morning writing period, and I was thinking about the sort of the correlation between despair and hope. And what I wrote was that in my writing time, I was thinking about despair and hope, and that they must learn to get along better, live in the same house, learn to coexist. I said that I lie to myself when I claim I do not have the first despair, and I surely need lots of the second hope. So that's going to be the theme of this edition of Poetry, Passion, and Pleasure podcast with your host, Dale Byron. We're going to get right into the poem, which is titled after, or the episode is also the title of the poem, What If We Have Hope All Wrong? What if we have hope wrong? What if we've got it wrong? And remember, we're talking about this correlation, this relationship between despair and hope. I've got some other ideas and quotes, but first let's do the poem. Okay, it goes like this. Well, here we are. Here we are, fresh out of hope, at least that old heroic kind, with those button-down plans, surefire steps, and weekly goals, you know, those kind where you're certain that you're going to succeed. We need a new hope. We need a new hope, one that can be tossed around like a boomerang, one that can be tossed around like a boomerang, resilient, strong, not brittle, returning from far away and out of sight, so long as we do not lean on its faith-filled world too soon and hard. So you're starting to imagine the scene, that the old kind of hope was filled with its own surety, or in order to be hope, it had to be absolutely sure that what we were imagining we wanted was absolutely 99.999% going to happen. Well, those days are certainly not these days. And so this new hope I talk about is one that can be tossed around, sling it like a boomerang, and it will come back. As long as we don't lean on the results that we're trying to get, at least in a certain time frame, if we don't lean on those results too hard, too soon and hard, as the poem says. So let's continue. Second stanza. Yes, we must invite a new kind of hope that knows better, that knows better. Hope that's grown comfortable in its own paradoxical skin. Knowing that real hope must embrace forever its twin, despair, that it must embrace its twin, despair. It's this, our hard-headed hope, grown from the roots of the real. There's that realistic hope. It's this, our hard-headed hope, grown from the roots of the real, hope that is born of a deeper faith, much stronger than belief. Let me stop there for just a minute and just to remind us that the word belief, belief, believe, actually means that we are, it means that we want this thing to happen. Not that it's absolutely going to happen. And so to believe is to not have a clear faith in what we want, but to merely have it as an intellectual thing. So let's go on with the poem. This grounded hope is water to quench the parched seeker. This grounded hope is water to quench the parched seeker. It is prehistoric. A shark's belly can eat 1,000 plastic bags and old rubber tires, tin cans, nuclear waste, all of it digested. This creature, hope, who understands the top of the pyramid, who understands the top of the pyramid, having that ancient smile that both soothes and terrifies us. Well, isn't that the shark? And isn't that the way we sometimes hold this amazing animal, which is both incredibly powerful, but also dangerous? The poem goes on. A grounded, unconfused hope, a grounded, unconfused hope that will never forget the necessary scars on the bodies of the impossibly hopeful, maybe on the bottoms too. But what we're saying here is that a grounded, unconfused hope understands that we have as human beings a need for hope. And it's almost, it's an impossibly, we need hope. And so if we're going to have hope, then we have to invite, if we're feeling it, and so many are, invite hope and despair into our lives at the same time. It goes on. Such a hope both mourns and celebrates its wins, its failures, where hearts and minds cavort as kindred, blessed partners. Now, final stanza. Now, to hospice the old hope. Now, to hospice the old hope, so that the new may come alive. A hope that feels awe, that grieves, inspires, embraces all things as a great unfolding mystery, a miracle, and how nothing is separate, and how nothing is separate from anything else. Yes, these are a new hope's new coordinates. Yes, these are a new hope's new coordinates. This, our healing, paradoxical, stunning, fierce, and new, grounded hope. And new, grounded hope. What if we have hope all wrong? You know, I could have said, what if we have despair all wrong? I could have called this episode that as well. Because the truth of my own experience is, I said, for me, periods of despair are not optional. They're not optional. If I deny them, I suffer because of that denial. If I do not also invite at the same time as much grounded reality based hope as I can and muster, as I can and as I can muster, then I observe that I suffer equally, if not worse. So both have to be invited. I say, hope and despair make uneasy friends. Our categorical binary culture insists on our choosing one or the other. Have you noticed? One or the other. But what if both despair and hope live deep in our hearts and our minds, especially at this time? What if to go on being as skillful as possible and to increase our skill, what if to do that, we need to acknowledge and embrace both despair and hope? Both despair and hope. The thing I also said is, I said, despair may be a stronger word than we are used to, maybe than we're comfortable with. I understand that. Despair may be a word that's too intense. However, I feel it's descriptive of my own experience, I have to say. And hope has come under scrutiny in the last number of years for often being tethered to fantasy and denial. In fact, there's a term people use called hopium, you know, which is a derogative term, of course, which, you know, means that we're in denial, and it's a fantasy based hope, a denial based hope, just the opposite of grounded and reality based. But here's the truth for me. The truth is, for me, full on despair is real, at least at times. And full on hope is required. Full on hope is required. They both must live in this battered and beautiful house of our hearts and minds, I wrote, maybe even our souls. You know, Vaclav Havel had a quote, who was the Czech writer, philosopher, and statesman. He says, hope is definitely not the same thing as optimism. We haven't talked about that, but boy, is that true. It's not the same as optimism. It is not the conviction that something will turn out well, but the certainty that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out. I think that's the kind of hope that that I want to embrace. The writer who I love, Annie Lamott, who I love her. This is off subject to a degree, but I love this quote. She says, "I never go into my mind alone. It's a bad neighborhood." I just had to bring that in today. And poetry. So that's why you want to bring a poem in is often to inside, so that you have something, some breadcrumbs there to come back out. Anyway, on this business of hope, Annie Lamott said, hope begins in the dark. The stubborn hope that if you just show up and try to do the right thing, the dawn will come. You wait and watch and work. You don't give up. So one more time, the last stanza of this poem, what if we have hope all wrong? Now, to hospice the old hope, now to hospice the old hope, so that the new may come alive, a hope that feels awe, that grieves, inspires, embraces all things as a great unfolding mystery, a miracle, and how nothing is separate from anything else. Yes, these are a new hope's newest coordinates. This is our healing, paradoxical, stunning, fierce, and new grounded hope. So what is the correlation and the relationship between despair and hope in your own life? How are you working with hope these days? How much do you think about hope being more grounded and more reality-based? How do you think of that? I'd love to know. If you want to add a comment, send me a note. That'd be great. I want to end by saying I always appreciate so much your listening ear. If you, again, if you have a comment, please make one, like the podcast, send it to a friend if you think, you know, someone who would appreciate this approach to poetry and life, which is what we talk about. So, having said that, until next time and next poem or poems, please take good care of yourself. And if you can, take good care of someone else. Thanks.